Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
All right, my minions, welcome, welcome, welcome to Radio Speed Talk on Sunday afternoon. My name's Sean Mark, was El Presidente. We do this thing with race cars every single Sunday afternoon. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Boy, do we got a lot to talk about. Guys from Radio Speed Talk, Peach and Cliff will be joining us here in just a moment. I had an opportunity to sit in with them on the taping of this show. It was a great experience out at Lucas Oil Raceway. Of course, that was during the rain last weekend, and we were out there a little bit yesterday, and it looks like they're going to get the Mack Tools. I can't even remember the name of it. It's been one of those days. The Mack Tools, yeah. Not NHRA Lucas Oil Raceway, but it is going on right now. So we'll try to get you some updates or be on Twitter. Well, guys, I tell you what, it is exciting. We got a lot of things going on here on the Balance Radio Network. And we want to welcome our friends up there at WROM in Detroit again. We're so glad to be on the air with them as well, guys. Remember, you can download us on iTunes. You can also catch us on IndyProSports.com, or, of course, all of our archives are available right here on Blog Talk Radio or on www.TheBalanceOnline.com. Well, guys, it's going to be a good, exciting show for you today. Like I said, I had a great opportunity to sit in with the guys from Radio Speed Talk last week at Lucas Oil Race, where we had an opportunity to talk with John Force and Erica Anders and Fast Jack Beckman and just a lot of great names in racing in the NHRA industry. So they're going to be talking about that. And, guys, just remember, every Saturday morning we do this show live from 9 a.m. to 11 in The Balance. We cover everything from racing to NFL to football. Obviously, we'll be covering some Colts. And as you know, the Colts just lost to the Chicago Bears. Kind of a disappointing loss because they had kind of a good, strong start. And Andrew Luck still trying to get the swing of things with the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, the Colts lose to the Bears. 34-21, I believe, was the final score. They were finishing up as we went on the air here. Well, guys, I tell you what. As much as I'd love to sit here and talk about football with you, you tuned in to hear racing, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to get you over to the guys from Radio Speed Talk here in just a moment. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, G-Balance, and on Pro Indy, and we're always on there. We're tweeting about everything. You can find us on Facebook, The Balance, and Indy Pro Sports. And check us out, www.TheBalanceOnline.com and www.IndyProSports.com. Well, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you guys could join us here on a Sunday afternoon for Speed Talk. Without further ado, here's the guys over at Radio Speed Talk for this week's episode of Speed Talk.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, start your engine!
Wow! It's time for Speed Talk. With host Cliff Tanner.
You have a beautiful speaking voice.
I'm special and you're not.
And Pete LaFuchsia.
I may be weird, but I'm not stupid. Or am I?
You're not a freak, and I won't let you think that about yourself.
Why can't you deport my gibberish?
From AMA to IRL and NHRA.
Sorry, gentlemen, I am not a fan of that.
Even NASCAR.
Ooh, I'm ready for NASCAR.
If it has an engine and goes fast, they talk about it.
This is the show for you.
We have done things that some folks
don't even know about.
Great in-person interviews and giveaways.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before.
Along with the ride, as always, is Kenny Bard.
He's our Joe Biden.
Ryan Newman looking for his first checkered flag since the 2008 Daytona 500.
Hello, Newman!
It's Newman at the line!
Danica, we saw what happened in the pit. You didn't get a chance to talk to Ryan on the track. You were pulled away. What do you want to tell him?
Probably best I didn't get down there anyway, isn't it?
Go on, cry over your mama. She waiting for you.
Through the final two corners, J.R. Hildebrand. Careful of traffic. He's got to get around the left. Traffic. What a gear.
You can always visit the gang at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
We're racing for the big money, and we're racing for points, and we're racing for the all-inclusive NHRA Full Throttle World Championship, which is just huge in itself.
Okay, I'm not sure what that first part meant, but that last bit was
pure evil.
I was driving around the racetrack, driving with my knee, looking out the window at the fans and waving at them. And when I turned and looked back, I ran head-on in the wall and destroyed my car to start finish line. That was embarrassing.
Well, I was born a racer, grew up around racing.
I am truly jealous.
And now here are the hosts of Speed Talk.
This romance just got interesting.
Incredible talent, incredible variety, like never seen on any other show before. You people are amazing.
Cliff Tanner and Pete LaFuchsia.
Hey, hey, junkies, what's going down, people? Welcome to another great edition of Speed Talk. Another great week. Hey, man, I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things going on. I got Pete LaFuchsia next to me. On, I'm Cliff Tanner, and don't forget, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, check everything out, including some of the Speed Talk draftings that we did, including the one we did in Indianapolis at NHRA event down there.
Fun one.
That got rained out, and that's one of five announcements we got coming up here in just a few minutes. And also go to Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk, and you can catch me on Twitter at SpeedTalk2. And I only say that because Pete doesn't like to Twitter because he still thinks it's evil. Anyway, I guess we'll start off. Pete and I have been together for almost 5 years, probably a little longer than that, but we've done sports shows together. We've done high school sports together. We've done Radio Speed Talk for over 4 years.
Covered college hockey for like a week.
That's right. We did college hockey. I forgot
for one little week. We even called a cornhole game.
That's right. Well, actually, I was a participant.
You were the participant. I was the color, yeah.
Anyway, like all things, good things come to an end. And Pete is going to be leaving Speed Talk as he is going to venture into his lifelong dream. And it's been fun working together with Pete, and we've had some good times. And I thank him for a lot of different things. He's been a great producer, and he makes us sound good no matter how bad we are. And he got me started in radio. So, you know, Pete, I thank you for that, and good luck. And if you want to take a couple minutes to let people know what you're going to do, you're more welcome to, or if you want to wait till next week.
Probably next week.
Anyway.
Okay. If I give it out right now, I'm working on the one project that I'm working on. The website's not done yet as of the time we're doing this. So,
well, Pete's had some dreams about doing some other things.
But you guys also, people know that I do stand up, and I've been getting offers, a lot of offers to go back on the road, and that's what it looks like I'm doing. I'm going to put a lot more eggs back into that basket and see which way it takes me. I've been picking up gigs here, there, everywhere, and also, another thing with the producing, I'm really good at going to sporting events and getting audio, and going to be covering some college football and getting audio for different radio networks. If you don't know much about sports radio, went from ESPN and Fox Sports Radio to now there's five in the last year, so there's a lot more
that
work out
growing
there for people. Yeah.
Well, that's good, man, and I hope things work out well for you, and I'm sure they will. Other major announcements, again, we got this week and next week, and then that'll be it. And we'll give some announcements on what's going on with Speed Talk from at that point also. We've got a lot of good, exciting things coming up, and maybe even take a little round-robin way about some things. But I promise you, you'll still enjoy it. It'll still be good because Pete did help set the bar on coming up with some good quality racing program. All right, other things we want to talk about, it's official. Everybody knew it except for the two teams that did it. But Logano is leaving Gibbs, which is not a surprise. We talked to Joe Gibbs Racing, and we knew that. But we really thought he was going to get knocked down to the nationwide level and give him
Sam
some
Hornish
more time.
With him. Yeah. I mean, he's wiping up down there.
Oh, he's doing a great
job. At least
job.
The races that he's in, he's doing really well.
Yeah, but speaking of...
Stab
with
my
that
heart.
Going on, one of the first things that Pete and Kenny and I had all talked about when this all the rumors started, we said that we would see... I forgot. Let me back up. Logano is going to Penske Racing, and he is going to be driving the 22. So Sam Hornish will not be there. And surprise, surprise, neither will A.J. Allmendinger.
Oh, really? What gave you that idea?
Yes. But surprisingly, opened up the door for Matt Kenseth. It is official. He is now going to Joe Gibbs Racing. He will be racing the number 20 car. Well, actually, I'm assuming. They haven't really come out and said, but since Logano's gone...
I can't see that Hamlin and Bush would change numbers, so obviously it's got to be the number 20. And they're not adding a fourth car. If they are, then that's news to us.
And that would be a shock if they did, but then again, nothing shocks me, you know what I mean?
Although, I mean, I could see with the upswing of certain teams, I'm waiting for a Roush to add a fourth or... And part of me says Childers is going to add a fourth, but not till Austin's ready to go up.
Roush can't. He's proven that time and time again. He cannot run four teams. He can't even keep sponsors for three, Pete.
No, the sponsor part. But
and that
I
was
mean,
not a
the championship years that he's won, Roush has, is when he had four teams.
Yeah, I can't see that ever going up. And that's part of the reason why Kenseth is... told him he doesn't want to be with him anymore. I mean, you're talking a guy that's been a championship, he's put all his eggs in the guy that can't seem to pull it off, and Carl Edwards. And you know, I guess I'd be a little ticked too, but, you know, as we brought up last week, there's also rumors that, you know, he's trying to get out and go to Penske, Carl Edwards. So Penske might be putting up a third car we don't know about. I mean, you know, in this silly season, man, everything happens this year. We thought Truex was going to be gone from Michael Waltz for racing, but he signed an extension.
Yeah, and he did really well. You know what? Now that I'm thinking of it, when you say the whole Edwards move in there, didn't Ford make a statement that Carl Edwards is the face of Ford in NASCAR? And now Penske's going to have Ford. Why not? Wow. Maybe I'm throwing mud at the wall. Let's see what sticks there.
That's the only reason Carl Edwards stayed was because Ford
he
put up all the money
of Ford,
to make him the face of Ford. So him and John Force are the face of Ford in their two respective racing leagues. So I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, who knows? All kinds of things could happen. I still say, you and I argue about this, I think still say Austin Dillon's coming up. You say no, but we'll see.
Not next year. I could see him doing it in a couple more years. I think Grandpa wants to see him win a...
Get a win in there.
In other words, do something that Biffle's not done yet, and he's the only one eligible to do that. So...
Well, yeah, Ty Dillon did win his first, by the way, in a truck race. But anyway, other announcements is, obviously, if you haven't heard about it from now, you're either sleeping on a rock or you don't care about NHRA. They are going to be running on the 8th and 9th. They got rained out. And I'm telling you what, man, we only got to see maybe, 15 races that whole day Saturday, qualifying runs.
Well, they did complete the Traxxas on the top fuel, but not the funny car, and that's part of it.
That was supposed to be
Saturday. They added the shootout, and I'll be honest with you, there's nobody more. And this is where, if you're going to get into conspiracy mode, look at all the guys in funny car that weren't qualified for the U.S. Nationals previous to the rainout. And at the top of the heap is the guy who's number one in points, Robert Height. So right there, I mean, he's not qualified for the thing. Maybe that was in their better interest to move it that way.
And also, I do want to thank, I almost forgot, I want to thank the Balance Radio and IndySports.com.
Indy Pro Sports.
Pro Sports, excuse me. That's what I meant to say. Tom Marquis, Pete and I went down, did a two-hour live show with him, and then he sat in on some of our interviews. And you can hear some of those on the Speed Talk Drafting at RadioSpeedTalk.com. But tonight, we forgot to announce this, tonight you're going to hear Jack Beckman, the interview we had with him man, what a guy. I've always heard he's a really nice guy. I've seen him in interviews and all kinds of things. But when we got him, man, did we have a blast. It
Dude,
was
the pictures
wild.
are worth a million. Him and I were picking each other's goatees like we're monkeys picking ticks.
But and we're also supposed to have Johanna Long coming on, and she's going to be getting ready for Richmond in the Nationwide Series for NASCAR. We're not sure if that's going to happen, so just keep in mind we said she should be here. If not, then that's the way it goes. But anyway, also the last announcement we want to make, it's also official and kind of a shock to me, but not a shock, but we got a statement from our friends over at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Apparently, and I'll read it that here
well,
in just a moment.
Well, did you know about the merger and all that? Oh,
thanks. You just blew it. I was just getting into that. I'm going to read their official statement. But now that the GAD is out of the bag, there is a merger. But it is between the Grand Am Road Racing and the American Le Mans Series. And again, Mid-Ohio has had both of those races anyway. But now they're going to. And the official statement comes from Mid-Ohio. As one of a handful of racetracks that has been fortunate to promote both Grand Am Racing and American Le Mans Series events for many years, we are thrilled with today's announcement that the two series have decided to merge. Their combined efforts and passion for sports car racing in North America will provide Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, our fans, and our partners with an exciting opportunity to build upon our proud history and tradition of sports car racing while being part of the new era in motorsports. And that comes from Craig Rust. He is the president of Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course.
Yeah, and Indianapolis weighed in on it, right, too. Pretty much the same type of thing. They're all happy that they're doing that stuff. I mean, it was a surprise, but, man, you think they'd do it next year, but 2014 is when they're going to do it.
Well, you know, they got to get, I mean, think about
it. A lot of schedules are already set.
The schedule's already set for next year, so they've got to, you know, kind of combine in and put them all together, so that makes it kind of tough. But usually you hear some rumblings going on, but I haven't heard anything. That's why I was kind of surprised when
I heard something this weekend, but it was that whole, everybody knew it, but the two series are saying, no, that's all they kept saying. We couldn't go with anything. So it was one of those, I mean, even watching Wind Tunnel, they're like, oh, come on, everybody in the room knows it except for the two people making the announcement. So,
well, and unfortunately, you know, I mean, let's be honest, we don't spend a lot of time on that as much as we should, but we have covered it in the past and been to some of their events as well down in Mid-Ohio. So, all right, folks, we need to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back,
we'll do something. Yeah. Oh, Jack Beckman.
We'll have Jack Beckman
joining
us. And again, this was at Indianapolis. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
What will you build? What will be your legacy? How will you make the world a better place? If you're searching for an answer to these questions, Habitat for Humanity can help. It's a curious thing about Habitat for Humanity. We build houses and something more, something extraordinary. A habitat build site is where laying one foundation can transform a neighborhood, where painting a room colors an entirely new outlook on life, where installing a window offers a clearer vision of the future, where renovating a home can renew a community, where setting a level can balance a life. You see, Habitat for Humanity builds houses and so much more. So what will you build? Visit Habitat.org to learn more.
The Air National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Air Force and serves alongside active duty Air Force members in times of a national crisis. With over 95 different career opportunities to choose from and 100% paid college tuition to any state-funded college, why not give us a call? Call 1-800-841-3103 or visit online at goang.com to find out more. The Air National Guard, guarding America, defending freedom.
Hi, this is Adam Alexander with Speed and TNT. You're listening to Speed Talk with Pete and Cliff.
Hi, welcome back here at Lucas Oil Raceway again.
I'm Pete LaFuchsia. He's Cliff, by the way.
Well, for you guys, it's funny. For me, it's not.
And we can call him
funny.
Tom
car
Stedman
driver Jack Beckman is joining us now. Welcome to the show, Jack. Sorry about the big hurrah in the beginning.
Great to be here. Wish it was a little sunnier right now.
Don't we all, man? So what do you guys do? Just real quick, and we'll get into why you're here, but when it's raining like this, man, what's that do to your psyche, or does it make you want to go to sleep?
Psyche's okay. My hair is all messed up right now. You know what? I'm still a huge fan of the sport, so honestly, I like to stand out at the ropes. I figure this. If these fans are hardy enough to brave the weather and walk around and get wet, the least we could do is give them a little bit of our time. I enjoy that.
Well, let's talk about chemotherapy, Miss or Facts. Obviously, you're out doing some things for them. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's a program I partnered with Amgen, and I am a cancer survivor. And when I got diagnosed, you go into a mild state of shock. And then the next thing that came was the fact that I had to face chemotherapy. And all your buddies call you and tell you all the things that are going to happen. And then you think you're going to educate yourself, and you go on Google or search something out and find out information on chemo. The problem is, that could have been good information 20 years ago, and it might not necessarily be relevant. So this program with Amgen is aimed at debunking all the myths. And they've got a website. It's chemomythsorfacts.com. And if you are facing this, or maybe a family member or a loved one or a friend, get on there and get through the myths. The other thing is, it's got current resources that you could go to. And emphasis is on the current, where somebody can go find out relevant information on their particular cancer journey. And keep it in mind that with chemotherapy, as with different types of cancers, everybody's journey is a very individual thing. And it's important not only to get to the facts here, but to get with their doctors and their healthcare providers, and don't be shy about asking questions. Ask way more than you might think that you need. I do remember many times leaving the doctors thinking, I forgot to ask something. Take notes when you go in. Take a friend as an advocate in there with you. It is a difficult time for everybody. The patient's probably not necessarily going to have the most focused attitude when you go in, but you have to get good facts.
Well, talk about your journey a little bit, if you don't mind.
You know, it was very interesting. When I got diagnosed, I was 37 years old, and I had lost my mother to cancer, but my mom had smoked, and I thought it's a cause and effect thing. I always took care of myself. I worked out all the time, and guess what? I got cancer also. And I'm not sidestepping this, but I don't want to go into specifics on mine, only because people tend to want to compare themselves.
Right.
If somebody gets cancer and they say, tell me about your chemo, yours is going to be different than mine. The drug protocol could be different. The treatment regimen could be different. And the way you respond to it could be different. The thrust of this whole program is to try to get people's heads wrapped around what they're going to deal with on their cancer journey. And our video booth that's set up here at the track, and we encourage the fans to come by, not just people that have had or are currently dealing with cancer, but family members and friends. We want them to come in and talk about some of the myths that they found to not be true during or after their chemo. And what we're hoping is we can roll this information in, put it on the Chemo Myths or Facts website, and get better information for the next generation of people that are going to have to face this. For me, it was a case of I knew I wanted to live.
Sure.
And that was the best chance I had of doing it. And here I am. I got two beautiful children now. I get paid to drive a race car. I get to hang out with you two in the rain. Life's pretty good.
Aw, we're humbled.
Well, you've never been humbled, Pete. Let's be honest.
Wow, he already knows me.
How did you get together with these guys? Is this something you found or something you founded?
No. I had talked to them about this whole cancer program, and they said, you know what, your timing is perfect. We've got something that we want to launch. We'd like a spokesperson who's been through this,
sure.
Somebody who can speak with a level of credibility to the folks out there. I don't think that I'm a better person having gone through cancer. I think I'm a far more useful tool to talking with people that are dealing with cancer. You know, my race team, Schumacher Racing, is big at supporting the Riley Children's Hospital. We just went out there Friday, and you talk to a family of a 3.5-year-old kid, this beautiful young man, and they don't mind me saying his name, it's Vance, who's going through what he's going through right now, and your heart just bleeds for these people.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anything that we can do to get people clearer information and a better understanding to have a potentially positive outcome in this, man, do I feel good about that.
Again, tell them what the website is.
Yeah, it's chemomythsorfacts.com. And if you can't spell myths, go to the dictionary and look that up.
It's you look straight at me when you say that. Why is that?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm the misspeller. F7 is broken on my computer.
But I tell you, this is a big thing. It gives me a warm feeling to be involved in something like this. And the feedback that we get with the race fans that come by the booth and talk about their personal stories, people that might have lost a loved one or somebody who just had their mother finish chemo and she's alive and well. And we say, listen, you got to go and spend 5 minutes in there, talk to the cameras, give us some information that we could forward on to the next folks that are going to face this battle.
I got to tell you, man, you're doing a good job of it because, you know, a lot of racers, a lot of sports guys push things like this. And you know so much about it. It's just amazing.
Well,
it's
cool. I mean, I've been there, and I'm passionate about it. And man, if we never have to lose another person to cancer ever again, that would be wonderful. And it's going to be a long process to get there. And I think this is a nice step to help some people out.
Well, you know, I appreciate you joining us. And warrior or a spokesman you are for cancer in itself. I also want to talk with you a little bit about why you're here. Mac Tools U.S. Nationals at...
That drag race thing.
That drag race thing. Provisional pole yesterday. Also, your team owner Schumacher. Provisional pole in your prospective divisions. You like your car, right
did,
where it's
did
at.
Did you say provisional pole and perspective? And
holy moly. Good sometimes.
I'm surprised myself. He's got a website up. He read that.
You guys didn't tell me I'd have to juggle here. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The U.S. Nationals is the only race on the NHRA Tour where we get 5 qualifying runs. It's 4 everywhere else. So you think, oh, we got a bunch of shots at this, we'll be fine. I mean, think of it as like you get 5 darts and only one of them's got to stick close to the bullseye to get you qualified. We might be down to 1 dart now. You never know. When you've got weather issues like this and you face the fact that you might be 1 and done for qualifying, you do not want to be outside that quick 16. And then when you go down there and run 4:05 with a 1 and get it in the number 1 slot, I did not think we were running that quick. A lot of times you can tell what the car's running just from the seat of the pants in there. I had my hands full. That thing wanted to go left, and that center line was coming close, and I was leaning to the right as hard as I could, and it finally came back around, and it stuck. The nice thing is that we know now, no matter what happens, whether we get 4 more runs or no more runs, that Valvoline Next Gen car is safe. We're in the show.
So what you're saying is when you're going down the track, you could tell, oh, that was only 319, or you could tell the difference between that and 330.
He looked at his speedometer there, Pete.
All right, Pete, I'd get a plus or minus 2 seconds at 70 miles an hour. How's that sound? Yeah. At least I didn't.
Well, I don't know if maybe you had a GPS that you saw, made it to 312.
I can't even spell GPS, but at least you know I didn't lead the sentence with, let me be honest with you. And then you wonder what I've been doing the rest of the time.
Well, if you'd have led that sentence with, let me be honest with you, I'd say, oh, well, after drag racing, he's going to be a politician.
Yeah, yeah. How do you know a funny car driver's lying?
How?
His lips are moving.
Talk about your year so far.
Interesting. You know, I've been with Don Schumacher Racing. This is my 7th year with them, and I have been so lucky. I have had 7 different crew chiefs. Every one of them has given me a car that's won at least 1 race, and I've finished in the top 5 each year I've run a full season. And then after the 4th race this year, Don Schumacher had to make some big changes. So basically, Ron Capps and I switched cars, except for his car wouldn't fit me, so we had to get a brand-new unrun car out.
Wow.
Fit that to me. Oh, except we didn't have a crew chief at the time, so he hired Todd Smith, who's never tuned a funny car. He was great with dragsters, but he had done with a funny car, and we were one man short on the crew, so he had to bring them in. Other than that, everything looked wonderful, and we have won 2 races since then, and we're 3rd place in the points, and we got a car that can win the championship.
Well, there's a reason you're called Fast Jack Beckman.
I got to tell you, I think, thank you, but my job is not to screw up what the 9 other guys have done to that car. There's nothing a driver can do to make the car run better than the tune-up, but there's a lot of things that we could do that we might not necessarily get blamed for that affect the way the car runs. And I like the fact that we don't usually get blamed.
So let me ask you about your nickname, Fast Jack Beckman. Did you have that long before you started dating? Because I think that was a really bad
drink. Really?
Hey, baby. I'm Fast Jack Beckman. Oh,
you
man.
You want to give Pete that tongue twister again?
Yeah.
Boy, I got really quiet all of a sudden, didn't it, Pete?
Yeah. And leave it to Pete to bring this show to a screeching halt.
I'll give my wife your cell phone number later.
You know, Jack, and here's the thing. In your series, obviously, you're going to be racing against Courtney Force. And everybody knows she's one of my favorites. But she was here earlier.
He doesn't know that.
The drool
I can tell by the tattoo on his forearm. Yeah.
But no, seriously, she's a serious competitor. She's a rookie, and she's making a name for herself. How do you prepare to race against a driver like her, of her caliber?
Do you know a little background on this? You know I signed her license. I did not know that.
I
taught 7,000 students during my tenure at the Frank Holly Drag Racing School. I signed Ashley's, Brittany's, Courtney's, Robert Heights, and their mother Lori's. Super comp license. How about
thing?
That?
Wow.
She has a super comp license. And there are days I wish I hadn't signed any of their licenses. Because I've already been beaten by Courtney. I've been on that list. How do we prepare to race? So, you know, the crew chiefs have the toughest job because they have to look at the track and they have to figure out how fast do I think I can run without stepping over the line. And who are we running? Do we need to lean on it a little hard, or do we want a little cushion of safety there? As a driver, and I love the way Tony Schumacher phrases this, he said, you have to be the machine in a perfect world. You want to go up there and almost be robotic. You are an autopilot. When those amber lights come on, your right foot smashes that throttle through the floorboard, and your right hand gets back on the steering wheel. You lock on a spot down at the finish line like a sniper staring at it, and you react. In the real world, it doesn't always happen that easy. So again, I go back to my goal is not to mess up the tune-up in the car. And I think, and this might sound counterintuitive, having a calm, cool, collected approach helps you perform better out there. We're not hitting 310-pound linemen out there. So our job is to say it's an 8,000-horsepower car, but it's a steering wheel. And I think if you can take a level-headed approach up to the starting line all the time throughout the course of the year, you're going to have good results.
Now, Let's face it. There's, as we talked about earlier on, the wrecks in NHRA can go bad really fast, really quick. What do you do when you're inside the car? Do you just release it and go?
You try to not let it get to that point. Mm-hmm. You know, a fan asked me one time, they said, aren't you afraid of fire getting in that funny car? I said, no, but I'm really afraid of getting burned. So I wear everything mandated by the rule book. And extra stuff. I wear inner glove linings. I wear shoes under the fire boots. I wear thermal underwear underneath the fire suit. Why'd your eyes light up on that, Pete? You want to get that one?
No, my big question is, how much stuff do you wear? Do you start looking like me then? Okay,
with a goatee?
Oh, no. I'm talking like the Michelin man in there. Maybe that's why you guys only drive straight, because you don't have to move your arms very far.
Pete, you're just big bone, that's all. But anyway, the deal on this is a lot of this isn't just the safety equipment. The safety starts in your mind. I always have a safety plan. When it doesn't feel right, get off the throttle, get the parachutes out. If that thing's on fire, and you say, how do you know it's on fire? Trust me, you'll know it's on fire. Okay? You get the fuel shut off, and you get the fire bottles on, and you get the car stopped as quickly as you can. I think that there's a lot of athletes and participants in sports that never think about the what-ifs. They don't have a contingency plan if something goes wrong. I don't ever dwell on them. And you had kind of made that gesture like, do you just kind of step away from the car? In many ways, yeah. But I've got this program in my subconscious that I do A, B, C, D, E, F the moment things don't look right. On these cars, they give us a window where you can be a little out of the groove. It could smoke the tires. But I got to tell you, you stay on it much longer than that window and things can get stupid in a hurry. So you just got to know where that envelope is and not push it.
All right, well, Jack Beckman, I appreciate you joining us, but I got to ask you one question here. You and Ron Capps seem to have some momentum going in. I mean, obviously, this is the last race before
right.
you go into your countdown. What's it going to take for you to win the championship, besides winning?
Maybe
obviously.
Ron Capps to skip one of the races in the countdown the way they're running, right?
Right.
You know, I always think of, since NHRA went to this countdown format, it's a lot like the playoffs. You know, you do a regular season, then 10 teams are eligible to run for the championship. Except unlike baseball, the other team still can race. You can get beat by a car that's not in contention for the championship. But unlike baseball, again, during our regular season, there's a trophy every single race. There's no races that aren't important. And Indy's trophy is the same size and the same weight as the other 22, but it's going to say Indy on that tag. It's hugely important to try to get that. Going into the countdown, I'd take 6 runner-ups. Because round wins are going to win the championship, and that's about points. So it wouldn't offend me. In fact, if you could guarantee me right now 6 runner-ups and the Caps ain't going to beat me all 6 of them, that would probably win the championship. So you could probably tolerate a first-round loss in the championship, but you don't ever want to be in a position where you're dependent on the other 9 cars failing for you to have a shot at it. You want to do it by your successes there. So it's going to be about round wins, and that's micromanaging every little detail and nuance of that car. The crew chief is on his game. The crew members are all thinking about everything the correct way. And as a driver, you've got the right mindset in there.
Again, chemotherapy, Mr. Facts. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. If the fans are listening to us, come by our booth. It's right by the Traxxas cars and the Goodyear display, and spend 5 minutes. It could make a difference for somebody down the road, and that's a huge thing. If you're not here, excuse me, go on the website, chemomythsorfacts.com, and don't keep it to yourself. Share it with your friends. Share it with somebody that might be facing this journey. It's a big deal to them.
Jack Beckman, thanks for joining us, man. Good luck this weekend and in the championship. Hopefully we'll be talking to you again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
What, by the way? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Inside joke, right?
All right, thanks a lot. Folks, that was Jack Beckman. You're listening to
Speed Talk.
Hi, this is NASCAR Nationwide driver Jeremy Clements. You're listening to Speed Talk with Pete and Cliff.
Now it's time for the guru of curmudgeonry. Curmudgeonry, that's not even a real word. The Sultan and Critique, it's Cliff's time to comment on Speed Talk.
You should share your hilarious hate with everyone.
Hey, junkies, man, you know what? This is all kudos about you. I'm not complaining about nothing. But I got to tell you, once again, I have solidified and said several times that the NHRA fans are some of the best. And I'm telling you what, they are the best. I cannot believe, as much as it rained on Saturday when we were down there, and unfortunately it got rained out till next weekend, or this coming weekend, but I got to tell you, man, watching those fans out there, and it, rain, shine, it didn't matter, because it was up, it was down, it would pour, it would sprinkle, it was whatever. But those people did not give up. They looked all the way around the inside of the pits. They sat up in the stands. They walked around everywhere, and, you know, obviously, some of them went to their campers and haulers and cars and tried to ride some of it out. But I got to tell you, and all the people that we talked to on Saturday was just amazing to me race-wise, because those guys told every single racer that we talked to, basically said, if the fans can be out there in the rain, so can we. And we saw them all over the place. We saw them riding motorcycles. We saw them riding mopeds. We saw them riding golf carts. And I even seen some walk around with no umbrella, no hat, no nothing. So tell me that the NHRA isn't one of the most fan-friendly places there is to go. Kudos to all you guys. And I guarantee you, everybody that had a ticket, 95% of you will be back this coming weekend. They put on a great show. It will be a great show. But, man, it kind of sucks. We didn't get to see much racing. We saw a little bit on Saturday night, and then that was about the size of it. It just poured the rest of the weekend. We knew it was coming. Get on there and check it out again, man. If you ain't got your tickets, go. It's a great show. Go check it out. I'm out of here.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
This is Jeremy Wallen, driver of the number 70 modified at Bearfield Speedway and member of the Speed Talk family of drivers. You are listening to Speed Talk.
with Cliff and Pete.
We're now joined by one of our friends of the show, coming on quite a bit with us in her rookie season in Nationwide, driving for the ML Motorsports, the number 70 car, Johanna Long. Johanna, welcome to the show once again.
Well, it's good to talk to you guys. How are y'all doing?
Well, we all are doing okay if it quit raining.
Yeah.
So what's going on, man? You're getting ready to go to Richmond.
I am. I'm looking forward to going back there. I've been off for 2 weeks, and I'm itching to get back in the seat. It's been a while, but the guys back at the shop have been working really hard to get the car ready for Richmond, and hopefully we can get some momentum and have a good run.
So what's that do to your head when you run a few races in a row and then you kind of kick back and then you have to take a week or two off? What does that do to your mindset?
Well, it drives me crazy, but it makes me want it even more. So once I get back in the seat, it makes me drive harder, and you know, hopefully next year that it will make us have the full season.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your year so far. Now, obviously, you know, everybody talks about the Danica, but there was a stretch there where you actually finished higher than her for quite a few races in a row.
Yeah, you know, once I'm out on the racetrack, you know, I don't really worry about who I'm around or who I'm racing. I just go out there, race everyone the hardest I can, and I don't really worry about who I'm racing with or who I'm passing or anything like that.
Well, I mean, obviously, you've been doing a great job. You seem to, you know, every time I watch, and unfortunately I can't watch them all, but you seem to be getting more and more comfortable with the car. But is it more you becoming comfortable, or is it more as the team coming together and getting you better rides?
I feel like it's both of all of us. We're us as a team. And I feel like me and myself, I think my confidence is 110% better than it was at the beginning of the year. Every time I get in the seat, I feel more comfortable, and I know what I can do with these cars now. So I feel really good about that, and I know what I can do with it. I know how hard I can push it without doing anything numb. And, you know, the team, we're finally working really good together, and they know what kind of cars I want, and our chemistry is getting really good, so that helps too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about up to the season so far. Again, as we push along, what are some of the highs and lows of your season so far this year?
Well, you know, you have those really good finishes. We had a good finish at Daytona, and we had a good finish at Iowa. Once we get everything in order, when we get those finishes that we deserve, and you know, we also have had some bad runs this year, too. But it's one thing about us, we never give up. We go back into the shop, and we just talk about it, and we get everything ready to go back. And, you know, the last race at Bristol, it wasn't too hot for us. And that's one thing that I don't like, but we have to keep on going.
Now, we're on the downside, obviously, coming back to some tracks you were at before. Do you think that helps you out with a little bit of experience?
It does. It helps out a lot, especially once you know what the tracks are, once you go there, and once you've already been there with the team. So you know if you should start where you ended off or what you should bring back next time. And like, we ran really good at Richmond last beginning of the year, so I feel good about it. We're bringing a different car there this weekend. So, but the same setup, so hopefully it'll be even better for us.
Well, let's talk about Daytona, man. You seem like you had a blast up there in July. How did that feel for you?
I did. You know, at first, I wasn't really good with the drafting, and I didn't really know how to suck up on someone and push them, and I felt like I was close, but I really wasn't. And it's just the stuff that you learn every time you get on one of those super speedways. And I feel like I said, with my confidence, I feel now once I get on those racetracks, I've full confidence in myself and what I can do and with the people around me, and that's what it's all about, and it's finally becoming fun to me.
Do you have a favorite track yet?
Well, I like the short tracks. You know, I really like Richmond, so I like Iowa. I like all the short tracks. You know, I'm back in my comfort zone when I'm in the racing on those racetracks, but I'm starting to get a lot better and get more comfortable around the mile and a half too, which is, you know, you like the ones that you're good at and you run good at, so I'm just going to go with that.
Well, isn't that your background a little bit?
It is. You know, that's where I come from, down south. That's all I ran when I was younger, was short track.
So let me, when you are off, do you race any other, like, series, like some of the big guys or even some of the Nationwide guys will do, like, dirt tracks or,
run CRA Super Series or anything. Do you do any of that while you're off?
I've only ran 4 late model races this year. It really stinks. I love running my late model, and I love going back home and running for those fans at home and my family. But I'm going to do that a lot this year. I'm going to, of course, run the Snowball Derby at the end of the year with my late model and my home team. But I don't do as much as what I would like.
Is that because you can't or just too busy?
I'm busy, definitely busy, with the Nationwide Deal. And also, it's when I'm racing the Nationwide Deal, the late models are racing, and when I'm off, they're off too. So it's just the timing is not all there.
Well, that's not good. So what do you think is going to happen for you for the rest of this year?
I don't know. Like I said, the guys, we've been working really hard on our cars, and we feel really good about the racetracks that we're going to the rest of the season. We have 6 more races, so it's just going there, gaining experience for next year, and gain on it. Every time we go to a racetrack, learn something new, and go back home, do our homework, and come back and learn more.
All right, Johanna, let me ask you this. Are you signed for them next year?
I am. I'm with ML Motorsports next year for 21 races to a full season, and that means a lot for me. It takes a lot of stress off of myself once I go to the racetrack, knowing that I do have something planned next year, but it also wants me to do better so we can work on things for next year to get us better.
So you said it's 21 races to a full season. How do you find out, how does it get determined when, what's the timeline on finding out what races you do and don't get to race in? And obviously success and winning and all that's going to make it go, but is there other factors that would help extend the season to a full season?
Yeah, for sure. It's all sponsorship. That's why we're not running the full season this year. It's because of lack of sponsorship. But 21 races was a good starting for me from the first year in the Nationwide Series. But we're working hard on finding some sponsorship to make that happen. It's just trying to get everything in order.
Okay. So, Johanna, I mean, let's face reality. Once you win Richmond this coming week, you won't have any problem with sponsorship at all the rest of the year, will you?
Oh, no. That would be really big. I think everything would line up if that happened. But, I don't know, we just got to go out there, do our best, gain on what we learned last race at Richmond, which I feel really good about it. Hopefully just the whole race plays out in our hands. Like I said, I love going to short tracks, and that's one of my favorite races on the circuit.
Hi, Johanna, again, we've talked in the past, but there's some new listeners that come aboard. Tell us real quickly, how did you get to this point? I mean, we talked a little bit about the short tracks, but talk about your racing career so far, if you don't mind.
I started racing when I was 8 years old. I watched my dad race since I was a little girl, and I moved up racing late models when I was 13 years old, and that's pretty much where I made my name for myself, was in the late model circuit. Raced late models for about 4 or 5 years, and when I turned 18, I moved to the truck series and with my family and team, and we learned so much about that. And this is actually my first year racing for someone besides my family-owned team with ML Motorsports, and it means a lot to me, just going up the ladder, and for someone like that to give me an opportunity, it means a lot.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the first times we talked to you, you was in your home area, Warsaw, which is where the team is based, Warsaw, Indiana, and it was so amazing to watch the excitement, from Mary Lou all the way down, it was just awesome, and you guys have come a long way, and I see great things coming out of you, so you're rising well.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot. There's people, great people to work with, and every time we go to the racetrack, like I said, we get better each time.
And I apologize, that's Mary Louise, isn't it? Well, I don't know why I said Mary Lou.
Mary Louise.
Tell her I'm really sorry, because she'll probably want to beat me to death after that one. But hey, it's been great talking to you again, Johanna, and good luck this week, and hopefully we'll talk to you, some more during the season. I'd definitely like to talk to you at the end and see how you feel about the whole year.
That would be awesome. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, thanks.
All right, again, Johanna Long, driver of number 70 ML Motorsports in the Nationwide Car Series, NASCAR Nationwide Car Series. I'll get that out. You're listening to Speed Talk.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Hey, this is Joey Logano. You're listening to Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to Speed Talk with Pete LaFuchsia. Cliff Tanner coming at you. Hope you enjoyed listening to Jack Beckman and Johanna Long so far. I'll tell you, you know, we had a whole mess of people, seven races in total, picked for last weekend predictions, but we just didn't have...
We stayed away from the IRL and the F1 because we thought there was too many races.
Right, yeah, we did.
Little
and,
did we know Mother Nature was going to pee on our cornflakes.
Yep, so we had the motorcycle, pro stock, funny car, and top fuel that we had picked for the NHRA last week. Obviously... nobody won anything because, hey, they didn't run.
Yeah, and we're going to stick with those. None of us are changing.
Yeah, we'll
I even
stick
gave
with that.
Cliff,
we'll go back.
I go, let's go, let's change. If you feel that you want to change your pick, I'm sticking with mine. Cliff's sticking with his from last week.
Yeah, and we're going to see what happens. It ought to be interesting. But we never really got a chance to talk about it, but Ty Dillon won the Camping World Truck Series for his first win. Ricky Stenhouse. Junior won, that's not right. Ricky didn't win the Nationwide, did he?
Well, I thought he did. I will look that up and just keep talking.
Right. All right, Denny Hamlin wins back-to-back races as he takes the big cup event. And don't forget, this week, coming up in Richmond, it is wild card time. And I'm saying it is going to be wild. You got Jeff Gordon fighting. You've got Tony Stewart fighting. Ryan Newman's fighting. Casey Kane, I think Casey's made it.
Yeah, so Casey Kane's
got
locked
two
in because he's got three wins.
And Jeff said,
yeah,
Jeff
Ricky
Gordon.
Stenhouse Jr. won Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're right, he did win it. Okay, I was thinking
it
was somebody
else. Had me worried,
man. Yeah, well, it had me worried, too.
Well, that you wouldn't know who the winner was after you saw the press stuff between Keselowski and what's his name, and Harvick.
Well, we know who's not going to make it, and that is Carl Edwards, as Pete had picked him. To win, and he finished 36th. I had Dale Jr., who should have been in 36th, but somehow finished 7th, thanks to Jimmy Johnson and everybody crashing out. We ended up for the week. Pete had an average of 31.
La, 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 la. I am not listening to you.
An average of 31, and he went up to 9.71. I had a 8th finish, and 8.69 is where I'm at. And Pete, man, we got to be tough because next week's our last week doing this, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. So
if I have all first place and you have all last,
I'm in trouble.
There might be a chance.
Yeah, you might get me at that point.
Because we were within 0.2 of a point of each other.
All right, well, we're going to go back down, and we're going to go with the NHRA, and hopefully it's supposed to rain here real quick, or not rain. But Pro Stock Motorcycle, Pete?
I'm going with Arana Jr.
I'm going Eddie Krawick in the Pro Stock.
Alan Johnson?
I said Erica Enders, and we had a chance to interview her. I hope you check that out. And also in the funny car,
Mike Neff.
And I had Jack Beckman. And don't forget, these were before we knew for sure we had these interviews. So
yeah.
It's not just because of that. Top fuel?
I am down with Antron Brown.
I'm going Michael Schumacher, although
Spencer Massey was looking good again.
Yeah.
All right, let's go over to the NASCAR sprint at Richmond. You picked?
Tony Stewart.
I said Kevin Harvick. And in the NASCAR Nationwide?
I'm going with Dylan.
Ooh, he's going to go with the big Dylan boy. And I'm going to go with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And I forgot he won last week, so that wasn't picked on that. Here's one we haven't picked in quite a while, F1 Italian Grand Prix.
Well, remember, from July until last week, they were off for almost seven and a half weeks.
Yeah,
so.
They were off for quite a while.
But I'm going to go with Jenson Button.
All right. Sebastian Vettel, he's been doing me good all year long.
I kind of wish there was an IRL so we could talk about that stupid bump they put in the middle of the road in Baltimore. I know you didn't see it.
I did see it. I seen the guy go airborne.
But he wasn't the only one. In other races, it was sending guys airborne. Who thought that was a good idea?
Well, it was the wire thing that came up. That's where they went the wires underneath, and it came up. They had to fix it several times.
But it was supposed to be a chicane, and that was to slow them down, but it's sending cars flying. But we're out
too
of time.
Much. All right, folks, you're listening to
Speed Talk.
Today we want to find out how big a good marriage is.
You mean how many people it affects?
Yes.
Let's go find out.
How big is it? I can't measure it.
It's worldwide.
I would say as big as the universe, and that universe is infinite.
So your marriage affects more than just the two of you.
How many people are we talking about?
I believe a thousand.
Thousands.
Yeah.
If you bring joy to your marriage, people are kind of like, I want that too.
You're drawn to that because you see those nice people being together, being happy, and you want to enjoy that too.
If you were going to take all these people that your marriage has influenced, what kind of building would you need a house of all?
It's going to be quite a big building.
Stadium.
We're not the stadium level, a gymnasium.
Oh, that would have to be a cathedral.
So a good marriage really is good for more than two.
Yeah, a good marriage goes a long way.
Want to improve your marriage? For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Hey, this is Josh Zimmerman, driver of the 09 CRA Late Model Sportsman and member of the Speed Talk family of drivers. You're listening to the Speed Talk with Cliff and Pete.
Welcome back to Speed Talk. Pete LaFuchsia, Cliff Tanner coming at you. I hope you've been enjoying the show so far. Fast Jack Beckman from the Funny Car Division in the NHRA, and also Johanna Long.
Should be Fast Funny Jack Beckman.
Oh, man.
More entertaining
He was very
guys.
Funny. I had a good time interviewing him. And again, you know, you folks go to that chemotherapy myth or factor. Yeah, myth or fact.
Oh, you know what's funny? Awesome. After talking with him, talking to other people, I didn't realize how much people out there, they're like, oh, yeah, chemo, you're going to do this. You can't have conceived children, blah, blah, blah. No, in some cases, you can still get pregnant and all that. And it's just amazing the plethora of myths out there about all that.
Well, take it from me. I know about the internet because 95%, maybe not that, 75% of bedbug information is totally wrong on the internet.
Oh, really?
And I deal with that every single day.
So you're telling me Lysol does not kill bedbugs?
Well, neither does. The only thing that really, truly kills them is a bomb. But anyway, and I mean a bomb. I'm
yeah, like a fire bomb.
Anyway, great time down there at the NHRA again. I want to thank Tom Marquis for letting us
join
in.
Oh, yeah, and you heard
this.
Him on Jack's thing. So if you're wondering, who's this guy on there with Pete and Cliff?
Right.
He helped us with the Jack Beckman interview.
Yeah, and real good guy there.
One minute left.
Oh, okay. That's
I'm not trying to say. Not my turn to talk. We got 1 minute left in this show.
Right. Hey, thanks to our entire staff who's been with us all through all this. Again, next week, Pete and I are going our own different ways, but we're going to still be here. Thanks to the voice of Speed Talk, Rod Tanner, Tom Wolf, some of the other guys been helping us out. Also, check us out on the internet, radiospeedtalk.com. And Twitter at SpeedTalk2 or KennyBar52, who still takes them every once in a while, and he tweets them to me. Become our friend on Facebook, Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk and /RadioSpeedTalk. And we also are on iTunes. SpeedTalk is a production of Laughing Cliff Media, copyright September 2012. All rights are reserved. For my co-host, partner in crime, Pete LaFuchsia, I'm Cliff Tanner. Remember, as an engine goes fast, you'll hear about it on
SpeedTalk.
We're gone.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.
Well,
When I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was going to say, son of a, didn't you?
That's all, folks.